Well, it says address there. I will try and minimise the things that Carolyn has given to us. And it's good to get that close perspective on the life of Sharon. Well, Sharon was born on the 13th of April, 1966, not so long ago for some of us. It was the year of the Aberfan disaster. Many of us perhaps remember where we were when we heard of that disaster. The Six-Day War. Harold Wilson was Prime Minister. Sharon born to Anne and Hector in Northampton, where Sharon went to primary school, later moving to Boston, attending St Giles and, as we've heard later, Lincoln College. A Christian upbringing would shape her thinking when it came to perhaps career and employment, but more than that, as Carolyn has told us, she came to faith in Jesus Christ at the age of 9 years. Sharon told me her testimony a few months ago as she came into church membership here, and I was scribbling away as she was telling me, and I went back to those notes. And she said, she'd heard the preaching of the word. In fact, she'd heard her father Hector preaching about the cross, about Christ dying on the cross, and realizing that, well, although her parents were Christians, that wasn't enough for her. No one ever got saved. No one ever became a Christian. No one ever got into heaven by having godly parents. She knew that she needed to know Jesus Christ as her Saviour. And so she said, I went quickly to my bedroom and I sought the Lord. And she says, then I knew I was a Christian. It was at a Filey meeting that Sharon was convinced that she ought to be involved, perhaps more as a full-time work for the Lord. And so after school, she went to missionary college in Swansea in Wales. And as we've heard, she met there some Polish people and became aware that perhaps it was in Poland that the Lord wanted her to work. And so following a preliminary visit, Sharon left home, embraced a new culture with all the weakness physically that she knew, but in the strength of God, she did that work. And she worked among Polish children for 12 years, working in Krakow, Praszyna, and Belsko Białe, which I pronounced incorrectly, but I think we know at least it's in Poland. She would gather the children together and teach them the stories. We've heard already, these were children of poor families. These were people who were struggling, and the children would have had very little. But she would gather them together and teach them the best that there is, the stories from the Bible and Christian choruses. She worked among the gypsy children. When the church went to camp, Sharon would be found running the children's work. We have two notes here from Poland. One comes from the Child Evangelism Fellowship, which Sharon worked with for, I believe, 5 years. We're very sorry to hear of the passing of Sharon, and we do pray for the family. She was a blessing. We are sure that many children have been won for Christ through her ministry. We will never forget her input and contribution she made. We express words of sympathy, but also thanksgiving to the Lord for the life and deeds of our dear sister Sharon. We'll never forget those 10 years of friendship and co-labour in the name of Jesus. We're grateful for Sharon, especially for her impact on the lives of the little ones. The good pattern of her faith ministered to many children here will be greatly rewarded by Christ, as his word ensures us. We say goodbye, Sharon, in the assurance of the promise that death is just a problem of the while, till our Lord Jesus Christ executes his glorious resurrection. We all wait for this moment of triumph and put our faith in him who abolished death and brought life and immortality. She simply didn't do a job. She did the work of the Lord with a love for the Lord. And it was evident in the way that she did that work. It was evident from the testimony of the children. Was told as she walked into a market street, the children would see her and they would just come running around her. I was reminded of a verse of a hymn, and it says, it may be that the children you have led with trembling hand will be found among the jewels when you reach the better land. Sharon may never know, many of those children, that they will actually come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Sharon returned home due to poor health, but she was still able to do much for the Lord. She worked among various communities in Boston, distributing Christian literature. We trust that work will indeed continue. Sharon worked with her father at the Mission to Mobile Homes in Pump Square, again working with the children. She worked with the gypsy children on the gypsy site in Boston Park. Sharon worked here with Elizabeth, Susan, Naomi and others on a Friday night with the boys and girls. And those of you who worked with the children with her, I know that you will miss Sharon greatly. But let her example and even her passing motivate each of us to do that work more. It would be tremendous, wouldn't it, that when you get to glory and you see Sharon, you'll be able to say what happened to that work even when she'd gone. The creativity that we've heard of has been used again when the creation exhibitions have been held. You would find Sharon, there she was, with the children, working with the puzzles, working with various things with the children. And if you went round, you would also see some of her artistic skills that were used in those exhibitions. And that will still be seen in days to come. Sharon will be remembered for all these things, but she'll be particularly remembered for her character. One who loved the Lord, but also lived out that Christian life. She was a great supporter of the work, although perhaps doing it quietly. She would follow the work in prayer and in encouragement. She would encourage me as a pastor. I know she encouraged Peter in his ministry. And not only that, she would encourage people of all ages. Many of you have come to me since and said, well, she wrote me a note when this happened. Or she said this. She had what the Bible calls a meek and quiet spirit. And the Bible in the same verse says, a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God a great price. Sharon had been learning scripture. And the passage she'd been working on was from 2 Peter chapter 1. And she'd been memorising these verses. And I thought as I looked over that passage how apt they were that she was not only learning them, we could see them in her life. Let me just remind you of some of those verses she was learning. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue add to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity and love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things abounded in her life, and she was not unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sharon lived this type of life not only in the chapel, but also in the home where she was a loving daughter. And we've heard also a loving sister. In the hospital where she was recently, she was able to witness for the Saviour. When I saw her, not the last time, the time before, she said, we were up past 11 o'clock the other night, sitting on that lady's bed, talking about the gospel. She never complained. Never complained about her treatment. It was part of the witness of the hospital. Indeed, time after time, people have simply said, she was special. Not many of us can have that testimony. But the question comes in, what made her special? Well, I believe it was, as we read in the scriptures, it was the love of God shed abroad in her heart by the Holy Spirit. That's what made her special. Now, Sharon probably wouldn't have wanted Carolyn or I to say as much about her as we have done, but it's right that we do. She would want me to tell you about her Saviour. She'd want me to tell you why it is that we have a sure and certain hope today that Sharon has gone to be with the Lord. And as we lay her body down, we lay it down with an absolute certainty of the resurrection. Because Christ has risen. And the Bible says that for those that are his, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. We have no doubt whatsoever for that today. But could that be said of each one of us today? That when this day comes for you, and it will come for all of us, could the minister, whoever's conducting the service, say of you, I know that this person is a Christian. I know that this person has gone to glory. Could it be said of you? That's the challenge, isn't it? And I want to leave you with a verse of scripture this afternoon that's very apt for Sharon. It is her testimony. It's found in Psalm 76, verse 26, but I think you can all remember it. It's quite brief. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's Sharon's testimony. Her flesh failed. Her heart particularly failed. But God was the strength of her heart. And God is her strength, her portion forever. Let me leave you with three brief thoughts to go away with from that verse. First of all, we see man's failure. My flesh and my heart faileth. Sharon's flesh failed, particularly her heart. But this testimony is not only Sharon's. It's all of our testimonies. When it comes to our failure, for all of us, our flesh will fail. For all of us, our hearts will fail. And our flesh grows old because of our nature. And eventually, all of our bodies will give out. Why? Because it's our nature. It's a part of our nature that means it's normal for us to get old and to die. It's an outward sign of that inward sinful nature that each one of us inherits because of our parents, going back to the fall as given in Scripture. But it's not only the flesh that fails. The psalmist there says our heart fails. And when he speaks of the heart, he speaks not only of flesh and bone, but he speaks of our spiritual life, our souls, the very heart of the matter. For we are dead in trespass and in sin. And that's why we sin, because of our nature. We break God's law, because it is that inbuilt tendency to do so. We do lie, we do steal, we do think and act immorally. We do not love the Saviour as we're called to do, with all our hearts, with all our minds, and with all our strength. And there is nothing within ourselves that we can change to make us do that. We are spiritually dead to God. That's man's failure. Our heart fails. And God tells us our hearts are desperately wicked. Look at the sin in the world. Look at all the man-made religions of the world. More importantly, we must look to our own hearts and say, are we right with God? The one with whom we have to do. And if we're left to our own devices, then we're not right with God. That is man's failure. Our flesh and our heart fails. But the second point, God's victory in Christ. For the writer of this psalm could not only say that his heart and flesh faileth, but he said, but God is the strength of my heart. And Sharon could say, although her heart was weak, and she needed all that equipment, she needed all that attention, and finally her heart gave out, but she could say, no, my heart is strong in Christ. How can that be? How can someone so small and frail be able to say, I'm strong in Christ? How can those of us who are dead in sin find God to be our strength? This is the amazing love of God in Christ. That Christ came to do what we can't do. We can't be perfect. So God says, I'll come and be perfect in their place. I'll keep my own law. And I will make myself a sacrifice for sinners. I'll go to the cross. I'll bleed. I'll die. I'll be a sacrifice. And so Christ came. And he lived and he died and he rose again from the dead, that all repenting sinners might know life everlasting, might know the failure of their flesh done away with, might know life and immortality through Christ's life. Because he lives, we live. Susan will play on the organ as we leave in a few moments. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Wouldn't it be awful if we had no hope? If we had no hope, we say it's another day without Sharon, we're sad. But as I said to someone on the Lord's Day, no, we're a day nearer reunion. Because he lives. We have every hope for tomorrow. And my friends, it's the only reason in some ways we can go on. Without Christ, there is no hope. This is God's victory in Christ. Although we were lost, Christ came and found his people. Her heart was weak, but spiritually was strong in Christ. The Saviour loved her. The Saviour gave himself for her, and she discovered this at a tender age. And by God's grace, she turned from her sin, and she cast her all on the loving Saviour. And so, although born in sin, just like all of us, Sharon was able, in Christ, to gain the victory over sin and death. And so, when it says in Scripture, death is swallowed up in victory, that's why, as Peter read, we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. We have every hope because death is swallowed in victory. In one sense, this is a victorious day that Sharon has been taken from this life unto life eternal through Christ. O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's why we die. And the strength of sin is the law. The breaking of the law is sin. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the reason I can lay Sharon down with a sure and certain hope of resurrection unto eternal life is because Christ has come, Christ lived, Christ died, and Christ has risen again. So we see then our failure, our flesh and our heart, it fails. God's success in Christ, but he is the strength of our heart. But thirdly and finally, can you not see here my victory in Christ? I say my, it's very personal, you see. On the front of your order of sheep there, it says, and it was put particularly that Sharon Myra Hall was called to be with her Lord. Not the Lord, although he is the Lord. Not just Lord, although he is Lord, but her Lord. She knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Saviour. God, you see, as the text says, was her portion. This is her testimony. As we entered the chapel, Susan was playing on the organ. The Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd, not even your shepherd, but my shepherd. If we're to know the successful work of God in Christ for our souls, we must know him as my shepherd. No other name is given. No other way is known. This is Jesus Christ, the first and last. He saves and he alone. Some of you have tried other things and other ways. Some of you perhaps have tried the pleasures of the world to get satisfaction. As the hymn writer that we sung, he said, I tried the broken systems. Nothing works. Only Jesus. Some of you might have tried religion. My friend, when it comes to a day like this, it's not religion you want. It's Christ you want. In him alone is forgiveness of sin. In him alone is eternal life. In him alone is a righteousness to appear before God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, my friends, this afternoon as we come to a close, this is Sharon's testimony that the Lord indeed is the strength of her heart and her portion forever. Is he your portion forever? There is no alternative. You come to Christ or you go off to a Christless eternity. We need to know the way. Oh, I pray that his Spirit will so strive with each of our souls. My friends, what a joy in the Lord calling Sharon home caused someone to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a tremendous thing? The scripture says the angels rejoice in heaven. And we might even be allowed a little rejoicing here on earth. But my friends, may the Lord then comfort us as we have many fond memories of Sharon. May we retain those memories. They will be painful at times. That's the grieving process. But the Lord will take us through and we shall see her one day in the glory. But our main comfort, may it be that although her flesh and although her heart failed, God was the strength of her heart and her portion forever. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you will be reunited with our dear sister when he comes in the clouds of bright glory. Amen.